Well, after the murder of Abel by Cain, he was exiled to the land of wandering, the land of Nod. Yet he went and built a city. And then there were two parallel lines for man. The line coming from Adam through Seth, and the line from Cain down through to the time of the flood. Now, at the time of the flood, we have a very interesting situation, because men are basically so evil that you cannot have lots and lots of men and women on the earth at the same time without evil taking over and destroying man. That's just the nature of how human beings are. So let's come to chapter 6 and let's see some things here. Chapter 6 and verse 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and when daughters were born to him, that the sons of the mighty ones saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, so they took wives for themselves from all whom they chose. Verse 3. So, chapter 8, verse 20, Noah built an altar to the Lord, and he took of every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled the sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. I will not again smite every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. So that tells you how chaotic it was before the flood. Then from there, God gave a covenant to all mankind, symbolized by the rainbow. He would never bring a flood again as he had. Then the earth again became very wicked and evil. Shortly after the flood, beside, I have a DVD that's very interesting. It's called The Serpent's Side of Eden. And it's all recorded in Greek art, what happened after the flood. And it's quite interesting indeed. And it all goes back, like all the histories do, to Nimrod and Semiramis. Okay? Now then, the earth then became evil again, and there was only one man who would obey God. That was Abraham. So we're dealing quite a few hundred years later. And then God called Abram, who changed his name to Abraham later on, meaning father of many nations. So chapter 12 in the book of Genesis. And the Lord said to Abram, get you out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, into a land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those that bless you, and curse those who curse you. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now let's understand something here with this. This is not referring to the Jews, okay? It's referring to the eventual 12 tribes of Israel. Abraham was not a Jew. Isaac was not a Jew. Jacob was not a Jew. As a matter of fact, Jews were not called Jews until way down into the time of the wars between Israel and Judah. That's when they were called Jews. So what is known as Judaism today is not encompassing all of the relationship between God and mankind from the beginning. So Abraham left. Now we come to Genesis 15, and this becomes a very important part here. This is when he was 85 years old. And from Genesis 15 comes the promise of how God's going to solve the problem of the evil of mankind and how he's going to send a Savior, and would come from the seed of Abraham. Chapter 15 and verse 1. And after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, for I am your shield and your exceeding great reward." And Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me since I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" And it was a legal thing to adopt a servant and make him your heir. And Abram said, "Behold, you've given me no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir." And behold, verse 4, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This man shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of your own loins shall be your heir." So God gave the promise to him that he would have his own son. Genesis 15, verse 5 now. Okay. Verse 4, he said, "You're going to have your own son, your own seed from you." Now, we know that did not take place until he was 100 years old. So this promise was given 15 years before it took place. Now, something else happened here in verse 5, which brings us back to the video that we saw. Verse 5, "And he," that is God, "brought him," that is Abram, "outside and said, 'Look now toward the heavens and number the stars if you're able to count them.'" Well, now we know it's impossible. Okay. "And he said to him, 'So shall your seed be.'" Now, what does that mean? We have two promises. One, a physical seed, that was Isaac. From him came Jacob, and from him came the 12 sons of Jacob, which then became the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay? Then we have this, your seed is going to be as the heavens and the stars of heaven. Now, that's a second promise of a spiritual seed. You have first the physical seed, then you have the spiritual seed. And there are two things contained in both of them. Number one, of the physical seed would come the line down to Christ. That's why the genealogies in the Old Testament and in the New Testament are important, because it shows that God kept his promise of the physical seed, Christ. Then there is also the promise of spiritual seed, the spiritual sons, who then would receive eternal life. Now, let's look at two scriptures. Let's come first of all to the book of Daniel. Book of Daniel. Right now, in this Bible, it's located closer to 2 Chronicles. Okay. Daniel. All right. Now, this is talking about the end time. "And at that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands for the children of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even until that time." And that's what we are about to enter into now. Getting close to that time. "And at that time your people shall be delivered, every one who shall be found written in the book." Now that we know is the book of life. "And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they who are wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament." Remember, God told Abram, "Look to the heavens and number the stars if you're able to count them. And they who turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever and ever." So there's a prophecy the destiny of those who would love God and keep his commandments and accept, as we'll see a little later, the New Testament, the sacrifice of Christ for the forgiveness of sin. All right? Now, let's come to the book of Matthew. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. Now, this is just an overview to show that the stars of heaven are the spiritual seed, and when we are resurrected from the dead, we will have a glorious body like Christ's glorious body. All right? Notice what Jesus said. All right? Verse 43, Matthew 13. Then, that is, at the resurrection, when the kingdom of God is brought here by Christ, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. So we have the prophecy of God to Abram that his seed would be like the stars of heaven. That is the spiritual seed. We have the prophecy by Daniel showing that those who turn many to righteousness will shine as the stars of heaven and the firmament of heaven. Now Jesus says here, verse 43, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Now that's going to take place when the resurrection occurs. Not until then. No immortal souls going to heaven. Otherwise, how would you have a resurrection? All right. Now, let's come to 1 Corinthians 15, because this is the resurrection chapter. 1 Corinthians 15. And the hope of all Christians, matter of fact, the hope of all mankind, is resurrection from the dead. And we will have to save the question, what's going to happen to those who are not called now, because God has a plan for them too. Let's come to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Now let's pick it up here in verse 12. That's 1172. Go back one page. But if Christ is being preached that he rose from the dead, how is it that some among you are saying there is no resurrection of the dead? Right in the church of God. That's amazing, isn't it, huh? Yes. And if there is no resurrection from the dead, neither has Christ been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is also in vain. And we are also found to be false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if indeed the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, neither has Christ been raised. See? But if Christ has not been raised, your faith is vain, and you are still in your sins. And those who have fallen asleep in Christ have then perished. Then he says, the only hope in this life is Christ. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most miserable. But now Christ has been raised from the dead and has become the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam we all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order. So there's an order to the resurrection. Now, we don't have time to go into that today. He states the first two orders of it. One, Christ the first fruit. First one to be raised from the dead. Then, those who are Christ's at his coming. And of course, that's yet in the future. All right. Then he talks about the resurrection. Let's come over here. Let's come over here to, let's get this verse. Okay. Let's come to verse 40. Since it talks about heavenly bodies, and that's what we're referring to in the first resurrection. And there are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is different and the glory of the earthly is different. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, and one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It's sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. See the comparison there, you see. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. That means we're going to have a spiritual body, spiritual mind, so forth at the resurrection. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. According as it is written, first man Adam became a living soul, the last Adam, who was Christ, became an ever-living spirit. However, this is a very important doctrine. The spiritual was not first. Because there are some people who say, well, we're spirit beings in a physical body. Can't be so. See? But the natural, then the spiritual. First man is of the earth, made of the dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the one made of the dust, so also are all those who are made of the dust, all human beings. Same flesh, same blood, so forth. And as the heavenly one, so also are all those who are heavenly, and that is when Christ returns. Now here's a promise, verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the one made of dust, so shall we also bear the image of the heavenly one. Now this I say, brethren, and here's another very important doctrine, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So no one is in the kingdom of God now. All right? Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all fall asleep, but we shall all be changed in an instant in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now we'll see other scriptures to back this up. And this is a very comforting scripture here, verse 53. For this corruption must put on incorruptibility. I am waiting for that day. And the older you get, the more that means. And this mortal must put on immortality. That's a plan of God. See? Now when this corruptible shall have put on incorruptibility, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So there is life beyond death. Now let's see the verification that we are going to be like Christ. He was raised from the dead and is glorious. All right, let's come to the gospel of, not the gospel, but the epistle rather, of 1 John. Now, there are some people who don't believe the Bible and say that anyone who says that we are going to be like God at the resurrection or like Jesus at the resurrection, we are going to be in the family of God, they say, that's heresy. Hey, not so. Let's read what it says right here. Verse 1, 1 John 3. Behold, what glorious love the Father has given to us that we should be called the children of God. Children of God. Very interesting. The Greek there comes from the word technon, which means his very own offspring. For this very reason, the world does not know it because it did not know him. The world did not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now are we the children of God, that is, if we have the Spirit of God in us, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is manifested, and when will that be? At his return. And the resurrection takes place. We shall be like him because we shall see him exactly as he is. As Christ is. Now, that's something. Now, this is to give us the hope. That's the hope. That's the goal. Verse 3, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. All right, now let's see another verification of this. Let's come to Philippians, book of Philippians. Okay, Philippians 3. And here it makes it very, very clear. All right, but for us, the commonwealth of God exists in heaven and is coming to the earth when Christ returns. From where also we are waiting for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice verse 21, what's going to happen? Who will transform our vile bodies, that they may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the inner working of his power, whereby he is able to subdue all things to himself. Question, how does Jesus look in his glorified form? Let's come to Revelation, the first chapter. Book of Revelation, the first chapter. Now let's pick it up here in verse 1. Because there's some very interesting things that are taught as we come down through this verse, and it ends up showing how Christ looks like in his glorified form. Verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servants the things that are ordained to come to pass shortly. Now, shortly in God's mind is a long time in man's mind. But nevertheless, it's going to happen. And he made it known, having sent it by his angel to his servant John, who gave witness of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and all the things he saw. Blessed is the one who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and who keep the things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. John to the seven churches that are in Asia, and that's a prophetic type of all the churches of God. Grace and peace be to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits that are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. And ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to God and his Father, to him be glory and sovereignty into the ages of eternity. Amen. That also shows the purpose. We're going to reign as kings and priests under Christ to bring the kingdom of God to this earth. Get rid of all war, bring the peace of God, fulfill the plan of God in the lives of the people that come through the tribulation and everything. And then for 1,000 years, there's going to be the rule of God. After that will be the resurrection of the rest of the dead. All right, that's getting into another subject. Okay, verse 7. Behold, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye shall see him. That's also another quite detailed sermon. And those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Now he declares who he is. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. And I, John, whom also your brother and joint partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and endurance of Jesus Christ, was on the isle that is called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Very interesting. You even can see some of that on the History Channel, where it talks about John, who wrote the book of Revelation, was on the Isle of Patmos, and the historical story is that he was cast into a boiling cauldron of oil, and it didn't burn him. He came out and remained unscathed from that, so he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos, where then God gave him this vision. So he says, I was in the Spirit on the day of the Lord, spiritually projected forward. Okay? And I heard a loud voice like a trumpet behind me saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book and send it to the churches that are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. That's interesting. How do you turn to see the voice? Turn to see where the voice was coming from. And I turned and saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man. That was Christ. Now remember, we're going to have our bodies be conformed to his glorious body. So here it describes him. Clothed with a garment reaching down to the feet, and girt about the chest with a golden breastplate. And his head and his hair were like white wool, white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. And his feet were like fine brass, as if they glowed in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. And in his right hand he had seven stars. And a sharp two-edged sword went out of his mouth, and his countenance was as the sun shining in its full power. Very interesting. That confirms exactly what we read back in Genesis 15, be like the stars. Daniel, the 12th chapter, shine like the stars. Okay. Have our bodies conformed to his glorious body? This is what his body looked like. So we'll be spirit beings. The 1,000 years are finished. And so there we have the glory of Christ and his countenance and everything there. We'll be like him. We'll rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000 years, the rest of the dead will be raised. They'll be given an opportunity for salvation. After everything is all done with that, then the whole earth is consumed with fire in preparation for the new heavens and the new earth. And all of those in the first resurrection will dwell in New Jerusalem, live with God the Father and Jesus Christ. The rest of who are saved are the nations, and they will live on the new earth, wherever, whatever the distribution will be at that particular time. So that's about as quick a summary as we can give on, you know, the plan of God. Why did he make the universe the way that he did? Because after that, then we're going to expand to the whole universe. And that'll be something. God did not create that for nothing, but a purpose. And through Christ, we're part of that purpose. So I know that was kind of a very quick summary, but I hope it gives you a thumbnail sketch of some of the basic plan of God, that he has worked it out his way to do it this way, and all the rest of the Bible fills in the details with it. Okay, glad you all came. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.